Yo lo que más destacaría del máster serían los profesores. Ellos son unos grandes profesionales, te motivan muchísimo con el inglés. Por supuesto, los materiales exclusivos que tenemos en el programa.
No estás como en una clase típica cogiendo apuntes, escribiendo, lo trabajas hablando. Y eso es muy complicado, porque coger una frase y de repente tener que hacerla en interrogativa, en negativa, cuando no lo tienes delante, ayuda a que tu agilidad verbal y tu capacidad también con el idioma sea cada vez mayor, porque es un reto.
Una de las partes que más me gustó del programa fueron las presentaciones a las que me tenía que enfrentar prácticamente cada semana. Otra de las cosas que más me gustó del máster fueron los dos Found Town a los que asistí, porque esas experiencias eran siempre inolvidables y es una manera de darle un empujón importante al inglés.
Ya lo has oído, apúntate al máster de inglés profesional, ahora por videoconferencia. La misma calidad e intensidad, pero sin perder tiempo en desplazamientos. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate.
Esta es La Hora Extra, con Richard Baugan.
Hello and welcome. Yes, welcome to the Extra Hour, Wednesday's edition. So, shall we start? As usual, I'm waiting for your questions, so feel free to ask whatever you want. Feel free to ask anything you feel like. Aquí feel dos veces. Feel free, siéntete libre de. Se dice mucho en inglés. No tengas reparos. Feel free to ask anything you feel like. Lo que se te antoje. I don't care. I'll try to answer any question, even the most, even the craziest questions. So, shoot, I'm waiting. Okay, Richard, were the dinosaurs wiped out by a comet or meteorite? Excuse me? Were the dinosaurs wiped out by a comet or a meteorite? Well, what is wiped out? Eliminated, destroyed, wiped out means totally borrado la faz de la tierra, is wiped out. To wipe out. It's interesting, it comes from the verb to wipe. To wipe is pasar una bayeta sobre algo. To wipe. Let's look up the word. This is an important word, by the way. To wipe. Let's find it in the English section, English definition. Wipe. Wipe express, wipe. To clean or dry by patting or rubbing. To wipe the furniture. To wipe the dishes. Yes. To remove by rubbing. Wipe the tears from her eyes. Te limpio los, que te quito las lágrimas de los ojos. To wipe the tears. In Spanish, you would say, to wipe is pasando un trapo, limpiar. Pasando un trapo, eh? No pasando el aspirador. That's not wiping. To wipe. To wipe. Uno pasado un trapazo, una. To wipe. Wipes. Yes, I remember toallitas, like to wipe. Baby wipes and things. To wipe. Ahora, borrar de la faz de la tierra is to wipe. To wipe out. Yes, to wipe out. There's a very famous drumming song called Wipe Out. To wipe out. So, yes, the dinosaur, well, excuse me. Some paleontologists and other experts believe that the dinosaurs were wiped out quickly by a cataclysmic event. A comet, cometa, un cometa, a comet or a meteorite crashing into the earth in what is today the Yucatan Peninsula 70 million years ago. And that the dinosaurs died out quickly. They went extinct in a question of, what, 5-6 months or 2 months, because of this cataclysmic event. However, geologists and paleontologists, when they study the layer of the Earth's crust, layer means la capa, capa. No capa y espada, capa capa geológica. All right. The layer, when they study the layer that corresponds to this moment, this period, 70 million years ago, they cannot find dinosaur remains. There are no dinosaur remains. And right after. So their conclusion is the dinosaurs went extinct before that, shortly before the cataclysmic event. So it's not clear yet on how and why, the dinosaurs went extinct. Extinguirse como especie, we say ir extinto, to go extinct. And so they went extinct 70 million years ago. It's still not clear why they went extinct. So I don't really know, and I'm not an expert on dinosaurs. Some people are. I remember a little boy who was about 7 years old, and he knew the name of every dinosaur. Spanish boy. About 100 or 150 different species of dinosaurs. He knew the name. He knew the type of dinosaur, the description, the diet of all these dinosaurs, this little boy. I think he was even younger, maybe 5 years old. And he was on a Spanish television show. I can't remember which one. Okay, more questions. So, dinosaurs weren't, maybe they were wiped out by a comet. Wiped out. Or maybe not. Or a meteorite. More questions. Does Spain export fabada? I don't think so. Spain doesn't export fabada. It should. It's very good. It's delicious. I mean, the fabada they have in the can, Litoral y Similar, is very, very good. But you can't find it anywhere except in Spain. I don't know why. I mean, there are a lot of canned beans in the United States. You go to the supermarket and you go to the aisle for canned goods. Canned goods means, how do you say? Productos enlatados. Canned. Doble N, caned, escrito. Canned goods. Good means bueno. Pero goods, con ese, son bienes. Bienes de equipo. Capital goods. Bienes de consumo, consumer goods. Y también mercancías, goods. Bienes y servicios, goods and services. España es una economía de bienes y servicios, que ofrece bienes y servicios al público. Goods and services. But canned goods son productos enlatados. Canned goods. And so, if you go to the aisle, aisle, el pasillo dentro de un supermercado. The supermarket has different aisles. And if you go to the canned good aisles, you will see probably, you know, maybe 10 square meters of canned goods, well, more, 30 square meters maybe of canned goods. Well, 30 cubic meters or more of canned goods on the shelves. On the shelves, in los estantes. And none of them are from Spain. But Spain has a lot of very good canned goods. Starting with fabada litoral. It's delicious. And then you have cocido. You have lentejas. And they're all good. Better than what they offer, except for chili. Chili con carne, chili con frijoles, no. It's the same. Equally good. But the rest, no. The best canned beans I have eaten in my life is fabada litoral, with a big difference. De alubias enlatadas. The best I've eaten in my life is there. And so, you can't find it. And it's funny about there are a lot of different foods that are very popular in Spain, and you don't find them abroad. And it's interesting because foreigners come here, tourists come to Spain, and they love these dishes. But these dishes are never exported. The number one mystery for me concerning Spanish food is the Spanish omelet, la tortilla española de patatas. People come from Germany, Russia, Japan, the United States, Mexico, wherever, it doesn't matter, Great Britain. They come here and they love the potato omelet, the Spanish omelet. They love it. Said, wow, this is incredible. But then you never see it. They never take the idea back, or Spanish people never take the idea. I mean, look at the La Pizza Italiana, the Italian pizza. My God, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. But of course, 100 years ago, or 120 years ago, it was basically only in Italy. A very simple type of empanada. It was very simple. And then everywhere. And spaghetti. Spaghetti of the different type. Carbonara, bolognese. It doesn't. Everywhere in the world, they've taken it. But not Spanish dishes, which are equally good or better. The Spanish omelet. And there are others. Paella. Outside of Spain, you don't find paella. You don't. However, here in Spain, you can have all kinds of Italian rice dishes. It's very common. But in any case, does Spain export fabada? No, it doesn't. And does Spain export ham? I think so. Over the years, Spain has had problems sometimes with the swine disease, a peste porcina or similar. And so have not been able to export enough. But the problem is, the biggest market is the United States. Potential market is the United States. And you take these hams to the United States, and the authorities require you to refrigerate it. And of course you say, no, don't refrigerate a pata negra or jamón ibérico or jabugo. You don't refrigerate it, please. It needs to sweat. And they say in the United States, no, it must be refrigerated. And so the legislation concerning food consumption makes it more difficult for people to appreciate the ham. The Iberian ham is perhaps the best in the world. Prosciutto is very good as well, but only the very top class of prosciutto can compete with Iberian ham. Iberian ham is the best in the world. So at least as far as I've tried, I think it's starting to penetrate into China. But the question with Iberian ham, el cerdo ibérico, jamón ibérico, is it's an acquired taste. It's something that is not immediately appreciated by people who've never tried it. It's very rare for a person to immediately say, wow, I love this. They say, wow, this is interesting. It's different. But they don't fall in love with it until 2 or 3 months later. And so it's what you call un gusto adquirido. It's an acquired taste. So it takes time. Sometimes it's not easy to penetrate a new market with a product that requires a certain amount of time for people to like it. And when I came to Spain, a lot of the food here, it was an acquired taste. It took time for me to. I didn't immediately. It was okay. Now I like it much more. It grows on you. Esta expresión, crece en ti, significa vas desarrollando un gusto por ello. O sea, empieza a invadirte de forma grata. It grows on you. And so that's the case of some Spanish dishes. It grows on you. So does Spain export fabada? As far as I know, Spain doesn't. They should. They should try. Maybe they have Litoral, this company. Maybe they should try to export their fabada. And when people discover it, you know, then maybe, who knows? But in any case, come on, ask me more questions. All right, let's see. Can a giraffe reach the top branches of a tree? Excuse me? Can a giraffe reach the top branches of a tree? I'm not sure if I understand you. Could you ask the question more slowly? Okay. Can a giraffe reach the top branches of a tree? Well, it depends on the tree. If it's a very short tree, yes. But in general, no, the giraffes can't reach the top branches, but they can reach the lower branches. Fíjate, no he dicho bottom branches, pero se podría. Las ramas más bajas, the lower branches of a tree. And that's why giraffes have long necks, in order to reach the best fruit of the trees. Yes, similar to the Brontosaurus. The what? The Brontosaurus. Brontosauro. You're talking about dinosaurs again, right? Yes. I mean, there is a connection between giraffes and brontosauruses. They both have long necks, right? Can you imagine a giraffe with a sore throat? My God. Si le duele la garganta, it must be terrible for a giraffe to have a sore throat. And for a brontosaurus as well. Yes, but what's a brontosaurus? It was a plant-eating dinosaur. Probably the heaviest, the biggest dinosaur of all. But wasn't that the Diplodocus? Well, what's the difference between a brontosaurus and a Diplodocus? Oh, there is a difference. Come on. Well, does it really matter? Well, I think it matters. A Diplodocus and a Brontosaurus. How do you say it in Spanish? We say Brontosauro y Diplodocus. Are they related? Yes, they are subspecies. They're closely related. Were they both plant eaters? Yes, they were both plant eaters. Not meat eaters. They were herbivores, not carnivores. Okay. And what does Brontosaurus mean? Brontosaurus means thunder lizard. What? Thunder lizard. I don't understand. Thunder lizard, lagarto de trueno. Brontosauro, Brontosaurus, is a lagarto de trueno, thunder lizard. Oh, okay. And the Diplodocus, what does that mean? I don't know. Well, when did they live? Did they live at the same time? Yeah, they lived in the late Jurassic period. La últimos periodo de lo Jurásico, the late Jurassic period. The Diplodocus, so they lived with each other. Well, I don't know. I really don't know. But did they eat the same kind of plants? Well, as far as I know, they ate the same types of plants. Did they both have long necks? Yes, they both had long necks. And have their fossils been found in the same places? Yes, their fossils, sus fósiles, have been found in the United States. I don't think Diplodocus has been found anywhere else. And the Brontosaurus. But are they identical? But no, they're not identical. The Diplodocus has a longer tail. Well, has, had. You know, even. Diplodocus had a much longer tail than the Brontosaurus. And its neck was longer and more slender. More what? More slender. Más estrecho. More narrow. Bueno, narrow for a neck, no. Slender. Slim. Slim is esbelto. Slender también. Pero cuando es estrechez de una parte del corporal, we say slender. So the neck, excuse me, you're telling me the Diplodocus had a longer tail and a longer neck, and that the neck was more slender than a Brontosaurus. That's true. However, the Brontosaurus was much heavier. Well, heavier. So, even though the Diplodocus had a longer tail and a longer neck, the Brontosaurus was heavier. That's right. Okay. Well, what was the average length of a Brontosaurus? Well, the average length of a Brontosaurus was 23 meters. Wow. 23 meters? Casi una cuarta parte de un campo de fútbol. From the nose to the tip of the tail, 23 meters. And the Diplodocus? 27. So the Diplodocus was longer. Well, I told you that before. I said the Diplodocus had a longer tail and a longer neck, but was lighter. The Brontosaurus is heavier. All right. And how much did they weigh? Well, the Brontosaurus weighed between 20 and 30 tons. Into 20 toneladas. Yes, between 20 and 30 tons. And the Diplodocus? Well, the Diplodocus weighed between 10 and 20 tons. All right. And you say the fossils have been found only in America. That's right. Only in America. Okay. Hey, could we trap a Diplodocus if it were alive? I don't know. We could, I imagine we could. So a Diplodocus could be trapped, of course. Where there's a will, there's a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. So, what a crazy question. I didn't expect you to ask me questions about dinosaurs today. I'm not an expert on dinosaurs. But your question was if a giraffe can reach the top branches of a tree, and I say no, unless the tree is very short, a young tree. Brontosauruses and Diplodocuses also needed to reach the branches of a tree in order to eat. So, any other questions? Sure, Richard, yeah, I have a question. But what is it? Are you feeling okay? I'm feeling fine. Why? I don't know. You just sound irritable today. Irritable? Me? I sound irritable? Yeah, you sound different today. Come on, no I don't. Yes, you do. You sound like you're in a bad mood. Are you in a bad mood? No, I'm not. But where are you right now? I'm in my hideout. In your what? In my hideout. Ah, I remember you, tu escondite, no? Yeah. No se dice hideaway? Yes, it's the same thing, basically. I mean, what's the difference in Spanish, between escondrijo y escondite? Ah, well, I don't know. I'll have to ask a Spanish friend about that. He said, this is my hideout. This is where I come to record the extra hour. And I'm feeling fine. I'm not irritable today. I'm not in a bad mood. Well, when was the last time you were in a bad mood? I'm never in a bad mood. Come on. Surely you've been in a bad mood before. Well, maybe, but not very often, eh? I can't remember the last time. Well, it depends on your definition of a bad mood. I could be in a bad mood for 5 minutes because somebody let me down. Because somebody did what? Well, if somebody lets me down, what does that mean? Si alguien me decepciona, me defrauda, ¿sabes? Espero más algo de alguien y me falla. That person lets me down. Don't let me down. Yeah. And so I can be in a bad mood. Well, not in a bad mood. I'm just chafado, as you say. I don't know how to say chafado. How do you say chafado? This is a very common expression here in Spain. Chafado. A lot of the expressions I use here, people don't understand in Peru or in Colombia or in Mexico. I remember one Colombian woman saying, ¿Qué es un mogollón? I said, había un mogollón de gente. And said, ¿Qué es un mogollón? It's very Spanish. But chafado would be, I don't know, confounded, but we don't say that. A bit pissed, I would just say a bit exasperated would be the closest word. Estoy chafado, me siento chafado. Yes, a bit exasperated. Let me find exasperate. I've run out of time. I'll have to wait until the next half hour, so don't go away.
Nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia es la opción perfecta para perfeccionar tu inglés en poco tiempo y sin perder tiempo en incómodos desplazamientos. 100% online, por videoconferencia, desde cualquier lugar. Grupos de 6 personas como máximo, horario de mañana o tarde, prueba de nivel gratuita. ¿Qué más quieres? Nosotros no podemos darte más facilidades, ahora te toca a ti. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate sobre nuestro curso de inglés por videoconferencia. ¿Qué? ¿Ya has oído hablar de Baugan Play? Si quieres saber qué es eso de Baugan Play, entra ya en bauganplay.tv y descúbrelo tú mismo. Con el código Baugan gratis tendrás una semana gratis para navegar por bauganplay.tv y descubrir lo nuevo que te ofrece Baugan. bauganplay.tv. ¿A qué esperas? ¿Quieres aprovechar el tiempo en esta nueva normalidad y resolver tu viejo problema con el inglés? Apúntate al Máster en Inglés Profesional, ahora en modalidad de videoconferencia. Los mismos profesores, la misma calidad, la misma intensidad, pero ahora desde tu casa. Infórmate en grupobaugan.com. Máster en Inglés Profesional de Baugan.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Baugan, desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Baugan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los 3 planes de formación en grupobaugan.com/clases telefónicas.
Si lo que quieres es resolver en inglés y no solo dar clases año tras año, llama a Baugan. Somos los únicos que te diremos la verdad, te marcaremos el camino.
¿Quieres tener un profesor Baugan? ¿Quieres tener toda la intensidad de una clase Baugan desde casa? Te lo ponemos muy fácil. Clases Baugan a través de videoconferencia. Una de las modalidades cada vez más demandada. Curso de inglés trimestral por videoconferencia. No importa dónde te encuentres. Con las clases a través de videoconferencia, tendrás tu clase Baugan con un ritmo de clase brutal. Nunca te vas a aburrir. Nunca vas a perder la concentración. Pruébalo, dinamismo e intensidad. Llama al 911-335833. 911-335833. Eso si estás en Madrid, porque en Barcelona puedes llamar al 93-339-8687. 93-339-8687.
Don Quijote y Sancho Panza. Cleopatra y Marco Antonio. Adán y Eva. Romeo y Julieta. Vaughan y Disney. ¿Eh?
Sí, ya lo has oído. Vaughan y Disney siguen colaborando para que tus hijos aprendan inglés mientras se divierten. La magia de Disney con la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate.
Avon English Class is not the same as other English classes. In Avon English Class, time is optimized to the max. Every minute counts for your company. Every minute counts for your English. It's all a question of mathematics. The more you practice key structures of the language in every class, the more confident you will be when you use them in real life. And the more effective you will be as a communicator in English. And in this global world of ours, communicating effectively is absolutely key to success. By means of face-to-face classes or video conference classes, Vaughan will make all the difference for your English. And you will make all the difference for your company.
Más información en Barcelona en el 933398687. En Madrid en el 911335831.
You're listening to Vaughan Radio.
Extra con Richard Vaughan.
Hello and welcome back to our second half hour of this hopefully interesting and productive extra hour for you, Wednesday's edition. So, shall we start? Ask me more questions. Okay, Richard, I'm ready with a battery of questions. A battery? Battery's una batería, no? Yes, but battery means a long list of questions. A battery of questions. All right. How do you spell it? The same as a battery. Una pila, una batería. A battery, una serie de preguntas. A battery of questions. Okay. Well, shoot, I'm ready for whatever you want to throw at me. Okay, I'm ready for any question you want to throw at me. I probably will be able to answer anything you ask. If it's within my range of knowledge, I'll try to answer it. If it's outside of my range of knowledge, I will humbly admit that I don't know. For example, if you ask me, are there alien beings walking among us on this planet? I will say, probably not. But I don't know. Does life exist beyond the Earth's atmosphere? And I will say, well, it depends on your definition of life. Biological, organic material. Organic matter. Probably. For sure. Yeah, amino acids. Bacteria. Yes. I'm sure it exists somewhere out. The universe is pretty big. I don't know. You know, to fly from one edge of the universe to the other would probably take a long time. So it admits the universe, they say, is infinite, and it's moving away. It's traveling away from a theoretical center where the Big Bang took place. It'll be interesting if I had a time machine, one interesting thing would be to go 100 years into the future and see how the scientific community considers the Big Bang theory of today. They may laugh at it. The same reason we laugh at the teoría del éter, the ether theory. But whatever. But look, ask me questions that at least I'm capable of answering. So I'll answer anything you want to throw at me. All right, Richard, do you like leather jackets? Well, you're asking me if I like leather jackets. It depends. Of course, yeah, leather jackets are very attractive. I like. Well, it depends on the quality of the leather. Leather jackets are often worn by hoodlums. By whom? Hoodlums. What are those? Oh, I don't know. Maleantes. I don't know how to say hoodlums. How do you spell it? H-O-O-D, I think, L-U-M, hoodlum. Rufián matón gorila. All right. Hay una palabra. There's a new word here, lunfardo. ¿Qué es un lunfardo? Never heard of it. Argentina. Lunfardo, lunfardo. All right. Well, apparently it's a crook or a hoodlum. All right, a crook. You know, we use the word in the United States, crook. We use it a lot. And I never teach this word, a crook. Richard Nixon directly to the camera said, I'm not a crook. A crook is un delincuente, un criminal. O sea, bueno, criminal no. Crook does not. In Spanish, criminal is alguien que comete un crimen de matar. But a crook is un... A crook is a person who... a dishonest person, a swindler or a thief, ladrón o desfalcador or something. That's a crook. It's a crook. And we use it a lot. A lot. Es como cocinero, cook con R intercalada, crook. That cook is a crook. That cook is a crook. A hoodlum is no. A hoodlum is somebody who attacks you or at night mugs you to mug you. And so that's a hoodlum. But why? You see, leather jackets. If you want to make a movie about the bad guys in the Bronx, well, they're wearing leather jackets. If you remember the movie West Side Story, the Sharks and the Jets, well, they were wearing leather jackets often. So I like leather jackets, but I don't really care. I am not a dedicated follower of fashion. You're not a what? I'm not a dedicated follower of fashion. What's that? That's a song by the Kinks. Do you remember the Kinks? Girl, you really got me. You got me going, I can do too. You really got me. Well, 1 year later, they came out with a song. They came out with a song. They released a song called El Seguidor Dedicado Seguidor de la Moda. A dedicated follower of fashion. And they seek him here, they seek him there. His clothes are loud, but never square. It will make or break him, so he's got to buy the best. 'Cause he's a dedicated follower of fashion. And I'm not. I don't care. I simply want to wear something that looks okay. That's it. Maybe I should pay more attention to that. Maybe I should pay more attention to fashion, to clothes, to my look. But I never have. I've never been excessively concerned about what I wear. And occasionally somebody will say, tienes que comprar mejores trajes or mejores pantalones, something like that. They tell me that. But I just don't really care. Men who are too, for me, in my opinion, men who are too conscious of this or too focused on this are not very manly. So, I don't know. I don't know, but women love men who are very well dressed. Until, yeah, they usually like that. But it doesn't matter to me. I dress as comfortably as possible. Okay, so do you like leather jackets? You know, I like suede jackets. Suede? What's that? Suede is ante. Suede. How do you spell it? Suede. 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 But I remember I had a suede jacket. A suede jacket. Chaqueta de ante. It was very, very good. Very, very incredibly nice. I loved it. And I went to Las Vegas. This is in 1979 for a convention. a hunting convention, and I'm not a hunter, by the way. And it disappeared. I think I just left it in the closet of the hotel when we left to fly back to Spain. I didn't check the closet a second time, and the suede jacket was there. That's what I think happened. Suede. Blue suede shoes. Don't step on my blue suede shoes. No pises mis zapatos de ante azul. O mis zapatos azules de ante. Yeah, lyrics. Blue. That was by, I think it was Elvis Presley. Blue suede shoes. Yes. Two for the show, three to get ready, and, well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now, go, cat, go. Tutti Frutti. It's a different song. You can knock me down, step on my face, slander my name all over the place. Do anything you want to do, but, honey, lay off my shoes. Don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything but stay off of my blue suede shoes. So he's saying, chica, you can do whatever you want to me. You can hit me. You can do it. Don't step on my blue suede shoes. Suede, auntie. I've never had blue suede shoes. Never. But let's go on, shall we? Where were we? We were talking about leather jackets. Well, I told you. I said, yeah, do you have a leather jacket? You know, I don't know. It's not wintertime yet. I don't remember the clothes I have until I look at my winter clothes. And, well, I don't think I have a leather jacket. Well, I'm sure I do. I'm sure I do. But I just don't. I pay zero attention to clothes. Zero attention. And so it just doesn't matter. More questions. Come on. All right, Richard, would you like to work as a salesman? Well, right now, no, I'm too old to work in as anything else. It's too late for me to learn any other job. You know, but in my next life, of the top five things, I would be a in the top five choices for a career in my next life. Salesman definitely is there. However, it has to be for a product I believe in. If you truly believe in the product, sales is probably the best job that exists. Because if you believe in your product and you sincerely believe that you're providing value for money, then it's a joy, it's fun, it's very stimulating and very fulfilling. Fulfilling to yena, to be a salesperson. We say salesperson, saleswoman, salesman, a salesperson, to work in sales. A lot of people work in sales. And I repeat, if you're selling something that is valuable, that really is provides value, then it's a wonderful job. And it's easy and fun, and you can make a lot of money. Yeah, I've always told the story about the greatest salesman in the world. The greatest insurance salesman in history. Ben Feldman. I've told the story 100 times. But it's been a long time since I told that story of Ben Feldman. He was making $5 million a year in the 1950s on commission, selling life insurance policies. ¿Será posible? Vendiendo pólizas de seguro de vida, ganaba $5 million al año en comisiones. Incredible. He had one of his tenets, one of his principles, principios, was that you needed to close 3 deals a week. 3 deals a week on the average. Cerrar 3 ventas por semana de una póliza de seguros. It's not easy to sell life insurance, okay? The last thing in the world a person wants is to receive the visit of a life insurance agent. Excuse me, do you have life insurance policy on your family or on your car? This is life insurance, not car insurance. He said you have to close 3 per week on the average. And in order to do that, you need to visit 15 people per week. So, he was very organized in making 15 visits a week, or 15 meetings a week, in order to close 3. That means his success rate was 20%. No? Why, 3? Yes, 20%. That's a very low success rate, right? Vaya, tasa de éxito 20%, qué pena. He was a millionaire. You see, Hugo Sanchez scored 38 goals and set the record in La Liga, in the Spanish League, in the year 1989-1990. Later, it was broken by Leo Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. But until Messi and Ronaldo, Hugo Sanchez held the record for goals. He scored 38 goals. But he missed 164. And of course, if you want to see the recording of his goals, they don't show you the 164 mistakes. Or misses. He missed 164 in order to score 38. And it's that way in everything. If you want to score a lot of goals in life, you have to kick a lot of balls towards the goal. Many times you see, for example, Lewandowski, the Polish striker who plays for Bayern Munich, you have to look at how many times does he shoot towards it. Look at Leo Messi. The moment Messi is near the goal, he shoots. He doesn't hesitate. Hesitate is vacilar o dudar. He just, bam, furioso olfato de gol. He goes for it. And so you need to do that in life as well. And Ben Feldman was the greatest is still the greatest insurance salesman in history. And I've told some stories about him that are fascinating. And the reason I know about this man so much is because my father worked in the same company. In Texas and in Oklahoma, Ben Feldman worked in an area of the state of Ohio. He worked in eastern Ohio, in an area around the relatively minor city of Akron, Ohio. So he didn't work in an area of necessarily a high population. However, that area is a bit similar to perhaps Alava in Spain. When people think of the Basque Country, people think of Guipúzcoa, San Sebastián. They think of Bilbao, of course, Vizcaya, Bilbao. But they usually don't think of Vitoria and Álava, because it's, even though the government is located in Vitoria, but Álava has a very strong industry for small machine tools, máquinas, herramientas. And so it's an important business, it's an important area. And there was a similar type of place in eastern Ohio where Ben Feldman worked. And so there were a lot of medium-sized factories. Not big factories, but medium-sized factories owned by families for two generations, perhaps 3 generations. And so there was a lot of money. And of course, most of the wealth in that area was invested in the bricks and machines of the factory. So Ben Feldman convinced a lot of these businessmen that he would cover their inheritance tax, impuestos de sucesiones, because when you die, if you have money, you have, here in Spain, I don't know, but you have 6 months to settle with the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, with the tax authorities. You have 6 months, your family, not you, you're dead. You have 6 months, your family has 6 months to settle. Settle, además de colonizar o, bueno, o asentamientos, settle is liquidar, liquidar una cuenta, to settle an account. And so you have to quickly settle the family, which forces the family to malvender, to sell certain assets below the market price in order to liquidate, to create money to pay Uncle Sam. And so Ben Feldman offered to discount that. He said, we will draw up an insurance policy that if you die, the proceeds from the policy will be enough to cover the commitment to Uncle Sam, al tío Sam, the government. So, to work as a salesman is an outstanding job, the best job in the world if you are representing a very good product or service. More questions. Come on, come on, come on. We're running out of time. Okay, Richard, are there still pirates in the Mediterranean? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think there are any piratas. But the Mediterranean Sea, El Mare Nostrum, has an incredibly rich history of piracy, by the way, going back 3,000 years or more, probably, the pirates. They're interesting stories. Even George Washington sent a military, a naval expedition to the Mediterranean to fight the Barbary pirates. They were called the Barbary, como bárbaros, the Barbary pirates. Realmente eran piratas, beri beri. The Barbary pirates. It's an interesting story. Barbary, como suena, Barbary, pirates, Barbary pirates. And to think that George Washington, you know, in a little country of the United States, 230 years ago, sent, you know, the Barbary pirates, sometimes called the Barbary corsairs, corsarios, or Ottoman corsairs, were Muslim pirates and privateers. I think they're probably the same ones who captured and kidnapped Miguel de Cervantes, probably the same, 200 years before George Washington. But, and they operated in the ports of Rabat, Algiers, Tunis, Tripoli. Okay. By the way, there are two Tripolis. Uno dice Tripoli. There are two Tripolis. One is in Lebanon, north of Beirut. I think it's north of Beirut. And another one is in Libya. Libya, Libya. There's two Tripolis. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. So the Barbary pirates, in Spanish, they are called Piratería Berberisca. Okay, los piratas berberiscos. Or los corsarios otomanos. Piratas musulmanes y corsarios. La costa berberisca. Tunis. All right. Etc. And the Americans sent. But, you know, I don't have time to finish this subject in this show today. Maybe if we remember, we can talk about it in tomorrow's extra hour. But piracy in the Mediterranean goes way back. Piracy, la piratería sería piracia in English, piracy. Piracy in the Mediterranean goes way back. ¿Qué significa way back? Remonta muchos, muchos, muchos años. Muy atrás en el tiempo. It goes way back. The most famous moment in, well, many famous moments in Mediterranean piracy, but probably the most interesting is the one with Julius Caesar, Julio César. Before Julius Caesar became strong and powerful, he was young. He was 20 years old or 21 or 22 years old. And he was involved in the island of Lesbos, Mytilene. In the Lesbos, he was involved in a battle there as a Roman soldier. And then he was traveling from the island of Lesbos or similar to the island of Rhodes, Rhodas. And his ship was captured. He was captured by pirates. And he spent about 5 or 6 months with these pirates in their community in the south of Turkey, south of what is today Turkey, Anatolia. And I'm not going to finish the story today. And I can't even start the story right. It would take me about 5 or 6 minutes or more, perhaps, to tell the story of Julius Caesar and the pirates. But Julius Caesar must have been a singular person. He must have been very special. He must have been very handsome. He must have been very imposing. Imponente, o sea, impone. Imposing. Se dice en inglés, impos. To impose, imponer es impose, imposar, digamos, impose. Imposing is a persona muy imponente, que impone, me impones, macho, me impones. You are very imposing. And also we say, no quiero imponer, no quiero importunar. Cuando se dice eso, importunar, we say, I don't want to impose. Now we don't say to be inopportune. I don't want to impose. But I'll try to remember the story of the Barbary Pirates, George Washington, Julius Caesar, and the cleaning up of the Mediterranean by Pompey, also during the life of Julius Caesar. See you tomorrow.